William Minlap.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you.
We've received and read your original submission and also the evidence of precept letter, so thank you very much for that. You don't need to reread any of that to us, but if you have additional points to make, then please make them, and then we'll see if we have questions.
I'm William Menlove. I'm a proud third generation custodian of property at Lumsden. It has been a privilege to have the opportunity to continue and enhance fine management that my grandfather and father started. It is our philosophy to manage the property financially and environmentally sustainable manner that will allow future generations to farm into the next 100 years of tenure. My son has just enrolled at Lincoln University with this intention at the top of his list of possibilities. While this is fantastic and I would love that, I can't help but thinking that it may be more of a burden than a privilege for him. So much so, I've suggested that he has environmental resource management in his proposed degree, because there may be more future in telling farmers what they can't do or helping them navigate the minefield of consents than actually getting out there and doing it. That may be a cynical view, but to be fair, it's hard not to be cynical in the present climate where individuals that make their living from the land are repeatedly being maligned and marginalised with sound bites of science, emotive dialogue from people or groups with utopic, blissfully uninformed and sometimes self-serving views of the world. The scary thing is that as if this plan is adopted as it stands, I will effectively become a criminal overnight. I know that there is no practical way that all the requirements of the plan can be met on my property, and if they could, I'm not confident that the environmental impact would change a great deal. Every farm is different, with its own unique features that create a need for varying approaches to solve issues that impact on daily management, stock welfare, and the environment as a whole. Blanket rules and limits with limited scientific integrity are clumsy, lazy attempts to fix things. Just yesterday, I read an article which quoted Taranaki Regional Council Environment Director Gary Bedford reporting on an international land use and water quality conference he attended. He said many countries have realised that one-size-fits-all approach to regulation is expensive, draconian and ineffective. This is a chance for ES Environment Southland to be a leader in New Zealand. Environment Southland has the opportunity through the Water and Land Plan to empower the rural community and work alongside it to achieve realistic, practical outcomes. But thus far, it appears the focus is on consents, compliance and limit setting. I firmly believe individual farmers have the most extensive knowledge and understanding of their properties, strengths and weaknesses. While saying this, I do appreciate there is a minority that need more help to understand the impact of their current practices. Education and taking ownership of the ability to make improvements is where we can collectively make progress and should be focusing our attentions. The efforts of the land sustainability team should not be underestimated. Their non-confrontational interaction with farmers, practical understanding of constraints and variables that farmers face daily, and the ability to communicate the good stuff they see as well as the not so good make them the most effective tool Environment Southland has to help improve water quality. I believe there is a mutual respect for what each party is endeavouring to achieve. We live in a country where popular politics is becoming the norm. For this to be successful, politicians need somebody, preferably a minority group, to be public enemy number one, or a group in society that can be blamed for perceived problems we face. From where I view the show, it looks like the agricultural sector is increasingly being cast in this role. Basically, the water debate has become a political football field and agriculture the ball. The general public are watching the game and don't really care who wins, but will support the team that kicks the ball the hardest. I'm not prepared to sit back and allow emotive perception to dictate who we are and what we do. Environment Southland has an obligation as in a position to help agriculture sector stop the proliferation of these views. I urge Environment Southland to direct their resources to the front-end contact with their constituents, rather than bog them down with compliance, consents, fear of prosecution. Please engage the stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you. Roy, to start hearing in terms of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Notwithstanding your comments partway through the second page, could you just elaborate a little bit more on the first page? You made comment that this has had a big impact on you and you felt that overnight you'd be a criminal. What actually suggested that?
Well, the fencing off of waterways in a blanket rule, like our property, you can't, no, I won't use can't, because can't always and never aren't good words to use. Practically, fencing off those waterways is not viable. We have to put big cuts along edges of banks. Sometimes it's steep, sometimes it's not steep. We've used fairly big buffer zones in our development. You've seen the photos. I believe we're getting good results. The land sustainability team have held us up as a property for best practice. If I'm worried that I can't abide by these rules, how's everybody else going to get on? That's my worry.
Can I suggest to you that any changes would be a lead-in period and it wouldn't be overnight? There would be things that you'd be able to do on the way through to meet?
Look, I totally admit there are things that we can practically do, but not holus bolus. Like there's little things that every farmer can do, and they know they can improve their properties. But a blanket rule for one farm may not suit another. You know, I can give you an example. If you look at the Ariti River and the Matera River, on the Matera River, I believe crack willows are a noxious weed and they get sprayed out. Whereas on the Ariti River, the major use for them is to tie back onto the banks and save the banks from being eroded. So here you've got two rivers in Southland, two different managers using different tools to effectively do the same job. No one rule fits everybody, and that's just what I would like to convey.
In your original submission, you've commented on three rules, but rule 23, we've heard this morning, the same comments that you have made about crop yield and area.
Yep.
So I'm just saying that we have noted that and understand that. And cultivation of slopes, would you like to tell us a little bit more about that? You've recommended 20 degrees.
If I recommended 20 degrees?
Suggest if it cultivation land over 20 degrees.
As I said, every farm's different, and when we had the field day with the Land Sustainability Group and the councillors and a lot of farmers turned up, I said at the time, what works for me doesn't necessarily work for everybody else, and I wouldn't want to stand up and say what I do is what everybody else should do. Some people have, you know, I've got wee pinches that are probably 25 degrees as well. It's not the whole block, but it's safer to work over that area than trying to work around it. We have big buffers. You can see on those photos the buffers that are there. So there's mitigating things that have been done, but they may not necessarily be acceptable by the cut and dried rules that are being proposed by the water plan.
So given that, my last comment is, given that, do you think that there's a place in the farm management plan or an appendix N that would actually show the individualness of what you're doing on the farm and how you're treating the farmers at the Pacific against a blanket rule?
Yes, I do, as long as the person that's interpreting has an understanding of what we're up to as well. Because when things come down to interpretation, it depends if somebody's had a bad breakfast or not, that whether they like what you're talking about.
So you like it clear and simple at the same time.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon. Good evidence. Very clear. Looks like very good practice. Do you, just in terms of the waterway that runs through your property there, do you know what the water quality, if it changes, and where it comes in and where it leaves your property?
Well, I'm lucky enough that I don't have anybody above me water-wise. Our house and stock water all comes off our property. I've drunk it for 46 years, and my family have drunk it before. Quite prepared to drink any of the water on any of my creeks. We have got areas that we're fencing off, planting in trees. We've done a few of the gullies. We've got to go, but we can't. Oh, I won't use that word. It's not practical to do the whole lot.
So a few dams, are they dams rather than sediment traps?
well, you can interpret them as a dam or a sediment trap, whatever you like. But you know, I think I made that in my submission that somebody asked for clarification what a waterway was, and it was if it's over a metre wide. And as I've said, my creeks aren't over a metre wide. Because there's been a clarification, it now means that all your dams along those creeks have to be fenced off, if you take it to the letter of the law. So.
Thanks very much. It's very clear.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I wanted to ask you about the your submission on Rule 54 and the take of water and the acceptable, what's considered to be acceptable interference.
Yep.
Perhaps you could elaborate on that a little bit. I have to say that this is a concept that's used not just in Southland but elsewhere as well. If you could just tell us a little bit more about how that impacted on you and what you think a better solution would be. You have explained.
Okay, well, in a position where a neighbour has been allowed to transfer a water right, and under the rules you're allowed 20% interference in the piece of metric head. So what that interference has actually done is create a situation where I could not draw the water from my well with my current infrastructure like I did the year before. So I had to spend $30,000 on new infrastructure to be able to draw water from deeper. It's also, since I've done that submission, cost me an extra 30% in energy charges. So that 20% interference is huge. And if you want an example, if I was deciding who was sitting here, and there's five people, and I think, well, that's a very big table, we could get six people around that table. And you will all be doing the same job as you did yesterday, but there'll be one more person doing it. And by the way, we're going to take 20% of your income to pay that sixth person. That's, how would you feel about that? Is it fair? I don't know. 20% is a big number. And the thing that concerns me is if somebody's prepared to put 20% in for that rule, are all these other rules and limits justified?
Okay, you had to spend the extra money to drill your well deeper so that you're...
No, I've, the head dropped. Yeah. So we're pumping water from deeper.
Right.
Still had the pump low enough.
Yeah.
But it needed a bigger pump to extract from a deeper level at the pressure I needed to pump at.
So you already had a submersible pump, you just had to put it down deeper?
No, the pump stayed at the same level, but...
Put a pre-pump in.
But the static level, for argument's sake, was 10 metres.
Yeah.
Dropped to 14 metres. Yeah. So an extra 4 metres of lift.
Yeah,
so the extra 4 metres meant I didn't have the pressure to be able to pump to use my irrigates.
Right.
So I had to put a bigger pump in to lift and push.
Yeah, I think you're not the only one that's been affected by that, but thanks for that explanation, that's been helpful today.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about, I can't remember if you mentioned it in your written material. Have you done a farm plan for your farm?
No, I haven't done a farm plan.
Would you be open to doing a farm
plan? I think I might have put in the initial submission. I'm very open to doing a farm plan as long as they're a useful tool and they don't get shoved away and just used as a compliance tick box situation. As I said, Gary Morgan and his team do a fantastic job out in the community with farmers, and I think there's a really good respect there. Mm. Do we need to double things up? I'm not really sure.
No, I understand that. And in terms of Rule 23 and intensive winter grazing, there's been a lot of concern expressed to us from a lot of submitters about the thresholds that have been recommended in terms of transitioning from a permitted activity to a consented activity. And I noticed that you've got between 100 and 115 hectares of crop, crop, and your farm's just over 2,000 hectares.
Correct.
So two questions. Is that forage crop, is that just to feed your own stock, or do you...
It is, yep.
Okay. And so people have suggested to us a threshold, a sensible threshold would be 10% of the farm area, so that would obviously well cater for your situation.
It would, yep.
Okay, that's all I wanted to clarify. Thanks very much.
Good as gold. Thank you.